Hello and welcome to episode 181 of Scene Invaders. I'm your host, Dan. Today we have two co-hosts with us. We have Chone and Bill. What's going on, guys? You ready to go?
Come on, guys.
We got some cool stuff to get into, but before we get into that, I just want to say thank you again to our sponsor, Cruise Planners, aka Dell's Travel Company. There will be an ad at the middle of the show and also at the end of the show to get more information. But if you guys want to get on his email list, COVID restrictions are you know, it's bad right now, but with the vaccine, it's looking like we're going to have a summer this year. So if you want to get on his email list and get those travel arrangements figured out now, it'll be cheaper than if you wait and figure it out in June. So I think it's a perfect time to start thinking about where you guys want to go when we're allowed out of this country. Okay.
Just at least out of the house, at least anyway.
What's up?
Just at least out of the house.
Oh yeah. 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 Any of those cruises he does, you know, it's a travel agency. So they'll send you wherever you want, whether it's a cruise or if you want to take an airplane somewhere. So it's really great, really great company. And I've used it myself. So, all right. Also a little more housekeeping notes to get into. We're on episode 181. Episode 200 is right around the corner. Obviously, it's still going to take a couple months because if we're doing four episodes a month, and we got a couple months to get there, but that's going to be with you guys, the fans. We have about 5 to 7 people lined up for that. So the people that did agree to be on the show, you guys got to email me your availability, and we're going to record separately, and I'm going to splice it all together into one podcast. So whatever co-host is available to join me on these calls, whether it's Pat, Joan, or Bill, they will join me. And we're going to talk with the fans for, you know, 10, 20 minutes each. However long you guys want to talk. If you want to talk for 2 minutes, that's fine. So it's completely up to you. So start sending me your availability. Typically we're good on Saturdays and Sundays. But if you have to do a weekday, we'll figure something out. And if you live in a different country, we'll figure something out. So I'm very excited. And can't wait to talk to you guys. And, you know, maybe we'll get some ideas on different segments, you know, thoughts. What do you think of the show? What got you here? I'm very excited to talk to you guys, man, because we're only here because of you. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I want to give a warm-hearted welcome to the team, to Bill. He was Chone's friend. You guys have heard him a couple times on 3 or 4 shows, but he's officially a member of the show now. He's going to be doing YouTube segments as well. He knows how to edit. He brings a lot to the team. He has a lot of comic book knowledge, a lot of Star Wars knowledge. So I think this is just great for the Scene Invaders brand, great for you guys to get his knowledge. So Bill, welcome. Joan, give me a welcome. Thanks for bringing him on. Okay, so going along with that, YouTube, please follow us on YouTube. We're dropping 1 to 3 YouTube videos a week, more on the 3 side actually. And then when Bill starts doing his segment, he'll tell you what that's about and his what's new. It could be up more. And then Jason's gonna come back eventually, so we're gonna have four people making YouTube videos. So it's gonna be a nice variety. Everybody's gonna have their own segment. Obviously, Chone has Chone's Corner. Bill will fill you in what his is gonna be in just a moment. And follow us on our social media pages, YouTube, Twitter. That's all I'm going to ask you for now. Follow us on those two. And merch, okay? I'm going to make a one-time offer for merch. Anyone who pre-orders merch this week, so you have from the time you heard this episode till the time the new episode drops. Pre-ordered means you pay for it ahead of time. And then December 10th, when they're available, they'll get shipped to you. Any pre-orders, we're going to waive the shipping fees, okay? No shipping fee on any pre-order, except if you're out of the country, then I'm going to do a deal. Shipping's only $5. If you pre-order and you live in a different country, shipping's $5 if you pre-order this week. That's a good deal, right, guys?
That's a great deal.
That's a sick deal.
All right. So, and again, if you want to see those pictures, follow us on Twitter or email sceneinvaders@gmail.com. Say, hit me with that merch and I will send you the pictures of our merch. We have snapback hats, which is the hot item that everybody seemingly wants to buy. So I think we're going to have to put in another order of those probably by December 17th, because I think they're going to sell out quite quickly. But like I said, the merch will be on sale for 1 month, December 10th to January 10th. if you order something before that time and we're out of it, quote unquote, I'll just pay for it and we'll get it made by the single order. No big deal. If you want it, you got it in between those two dates, December 10th to January 10th. And then we're going to do another merch drop with different type of things. We're going to get a Chone's Corner t-shirt. I just surprised Chone with that. And then Bill's YouTube segment, we're going to get a t-shirt for him, and I'll think of something for me. And that'll be in the spring or early summer. So we're going to do probably 2 to 4 merch drops a year from now on with this new sponsor. It's going to allow us to do that because he's helping us with the cost of the merchandise. So our overhead is cut down significantly so that we can do these merch drops. And so we signed a year deal with this company, and we're very excited for this partnership. And hopefully you guys go on vacations using him and we can keep making merch.
All right, and wear our stuff on the vacation as well. Wear a hat, you know, it gets sunny in Aruba or Jamaica, you know, or even a mask or even a shirt. I hope you guys wear shirts.
So even though COVID restrictions are going to go down after the cure, what's it called?
The vaccine.
The vaccine, thank you. After the vaccine is made available, but I think wearing a mask is still going to be a thing for another year, just in case.
It may be a it may be a culturally acceptable practice where when we
like in China they wear them all the time.
Yeah. Well, if they wear them all the time, even if they're doing public transportation or if they're doing something like that, or even if they're sick, like it was a very common practice that they would wear a mask and you know. It's a weird time that we're living in now because maybe a year ago when we see somebody with a mask, you're like, oh, what's going on there? And now you don't see somebody with a mask. You're like, oh, good Lord, let's walk across the street.
Yeah, man, I completely agree. Every time I've seen someone in a mask, you know, I live in Pennsylvania in America. Every time I've seen someone, they were usually a tourist that was wearing a mask. And a lot of people with weak immune systems, if they go to a different country, they wear a mask because they just don't want to take a chance.
Didn't Michael Jackson used to wear a mask when he used to go out?
I don't know.
I think that was a more hiding his face and plastic surgery.
And nose, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, okay, that's all the housekeeping. Get your pre-orders in. We're going to waive the shipping. Again, if you're from a different country, $5 for shipping. And that is a deal, trust me. Bill, how about you kick things off because I want you to tell the people about your YouTube segment that you're going to start making.
Cool. So in the vein of basically, there's a lot of stories that come out that obviously are ones we're unhappy about. And I'm not really even just talking, say, movie delays or, you know, even casting changes, but more so there's a lot of decisions that happen in, you know, Hollywood, pop culture, but again, more so focusing on movie, television, that really the reasons that they put out there and the reasons that they give the public or make an announcements are less than truthful. So, and a lot of them, you know, more so than anything than being, you know, disappointing news, they're almost insulting, some of the things that come out, some of the reasons, and just some of the just unacceptable business practices or even just, you know, human being practices, how we, you know, companies are treating, you know, whether it be regular employees, talent, fans, etc. So I'm going to start highlighting stories, I think, you know, basically weekly that I would like to say and making it into jokes that is sus. So we're going to start talking about things, what I'm going to refer to, this is sus. And we're going to start trying to do that weekly, probably starting next week. I already have the first story definitely lined up. And then I honestly just want to kind of let it evolve as we go. I can do one story per week, a few, kind of look for feedback for people depending on how the first few go. So excited to help add to the YouTube besides being on the editing side. Now I have to brave up and put my face in front of it. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
It's not easy.
So Bill, initially, how he joined the team was Chone told me about him. Then we started playing Fortnite together, and he told me about his editing skills, and he's a really good editor. So what we need to do now is, which we started yesterday, we had a little team meeting. Train Chone to edit his own YouTube videos. So now that takes the burden off of Bill. And time off of Bill. So now Bill can focus on creating and editing his own videos. So now the three of us are going to be creating and editing our own pieces that we're adding to the Senior Bader YouTube channel. So it's going to be really diverse. It's not like you're going to be watching the same type of edit every video. And I think that's kind of neat. Like, you get to go down a different person's creative side. You get to see something different every episode. Not every, you know, because there's going to be multiple Chones Corners and there's going to be multiple. What are you going to name it, Bill?
That's tentatively sus. This is sus, but again, we'll work
on it. Can you explain where you came up with the name? Because it's a great name, but explain Among to us. People where sus is.
Among so, us. I think I mentioned a few episodes. I think actually in my first episode, we talked about Among Us, or maybe my second episode, and the big phrase that's come about that is kind of sus, or that reason is sus, but, you know, also just playing off the name of the big popular NBC show, This Is Us. I thought This Is Sus was funny. We can always, we'll run with that for now.
I mean, Chone, it's suspicious. Suspicious.
No, I know. I just wanted to let the people know if they didn't catch on to it. Obviously, our audience is extremely smart, so of course they're going to catch on. But, you know,
there you go.
Sometimes there's people that are a little bit shown like, you know.
Also, obviously, obviously it's not YouTube related, but also I'm looking to start kind of reviving and getting our Twitch channel going. So like there I kind of go. Mentioned before, we'll do a little bit of a mix of multiplayer gaming where we like to get listeners involved, Fortnite, Call of Duty, open to other suggestions, Fall Guys, just things that we could all jump on together. And I do also plan on doing a playthrough basically of every Star Wars game that's on the Steam collection. So we're going to mix up, you know, and people can obviously jump in the Discord page that we'll get started and can chat along and, you know, nerd out on the Easter eggs. And Sean will jump on a lot of those with me, and we'll be pointing out a lot of the things I probably won't even notice. But like I said, it'll be a good time. And like I said, just more ways for everyone to interact. And, you know,
it's going to be a lot of fun, guys. It really is. And also, too, it's gonna allow us to be able to put out more content for you guys, especially with myself and Bill doing, you know, most of the editing for our stuff. It's just gonna allow us to pump out that content and, you know, talk to you guys more and open our world up to you guys.
So yeah, I need to expand on this. I've been drowning people, keeping this show alive for the past 70 episodes. I've just been overwhelmed with how much I have to get done. You know, I love Pat and what he brings to the show, but he's too busy to do other things other than to record. You know, he has his own YouTube channel that's growing up to 5,000 subscribers right now, called The Recaps, that I've talked about a bunch of times, where that's no opinion, strictly recap shows, where, you know, where you're going to watch season two of a Netflix show and they show you a quick recap. Those recaps suck. They don't show you enough. So his gives you an in-depth recap, about a half hour to an hour, depending on how long the show is. Like, if it's a half hour comedy, that's 8 episodes, it'll be a half an hour. If it's an hour drama with 10 episodes, it'll be towards an hour recap. And you won't need to remember anything. Like, it's all covered. Anything that happened in that season is covered. So that's a really cool niche that he's doing. So we're going to do other things. And yeah, Pat's still a part of the show. We're going to be interchanging co-hosts. And I think that's also really cool. And we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from you guys about that. Because I was worried. I'm like, oh, if I keep switching out who's with me, does it matter? No, you guys seem to love it. And it's funny, longtime co-host Brian, or not co-host, longtime guest Brian, went to college with Bill, who was on yesterday. So they have great chemistry. It's just all very exciting stuff, and I am so, so grateful that Chone and Bill have joined the team as full-time co-hosts. It's fucking great. So yeah, the more content, the better. And the YouTube page is gonna have a shitload of content. So if you like the podcast, definitely head over to YouTube, give it a subscribe. We've been consistently uploading for 3 weeks now, and guess what? We're not fucking stopping. I'm on episode 181 of a podcast. Okay. I was talking to my friend Hodor, and I was like, yeah, I was trying to go back and find the first episode of the show, but you can only go back 100 episodes. And he was like, dude, listen to what you just said right now. You can only go back 100 episodes, and you have 180. I'm like, I know, dude, it's crazy. Like, time just flies. And if you're dedicated about something, it doesn't seem like work. And I'm dedicated, and these two gentlemen are dedicated. So we just want to keep growing for you guys. All right, Bill. So yeah, keep going, man. What have you been watching? You're on mute, bro. Yeah, you're on mute.
Sorry about that.
All good.
So this week, as far as really kind of my viewing, we kind of, you know, it's kind of a broken record. I mean, obviously you'll see, heard our Mandalorian, you know, commentary so far on Chone's Corner, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So I'll save that. Really, I kind of wanted to focus at least what, you know, more so what I've been watching and more so what I've been playing this week, because my free time has been definitely taking up when I've had it outside of obviously doing the YouTube stuff and all, has been diving into my PlayStation 5. So I did want to kind of give my first initial thoughts on the system. I'm just going to start right off the top. I know obviously the popular thing you're seeing on YouTube right now are any and all kind of glitches, malfunctionings, blocked systems, brick systems. I'm happy to say I haven't had any kind of technical issues. There have been daily updates so far, firmware patches, things of that nature. I've seen really no performance issues at all, so I'm happy to report that. I'm curious to hear what other listeners, if they've, one, were able to get their hands on one, and two, how it's performing for them.
Does the size and shape annoy you? Because the original co-host Bill of the show, I was at his house yesterday picking up all the mics to give to you guys. Mm-hmm. And if you guys notice we sound better, it's because we all have the original mics from the original podcast studio, and it's really cool. So I saw Bill, and he has two, one for him and one for his wife, because they play Call of Duty together. And he was like, dude, I fucking hate it. It's an eyesore. It takes up way too much space. Does that bother you?
Not particularly. I mean, it is a very valid complaint. It is not super appealing. As we talk, I can even grab and show everyone a big, it's big. More so than the eyesore. I mean, that actually, if you do a little bit of research, there is a reasoning behind the shape and even the size. It's mainly for the cooling, based off of how they laid out their internals. Now people will say, well, the Xbox Series X is very tight and compact. And yeah, they had a great design, but there's, you know, more than one way to skin a cat. It doesn't bother me. I'm, you know, fortunate. I'm really just looking at the screen. So I have it open here in my office, and it's, like I said, it's been performing well. But again, I don't blame anyone for who has criticisms of the build, the physical build of it.
And like you said, the build is it's specifically built that way because, to my understanding, the PS5 has a dual fan system, correct? And that's essentially why.
Yeah. The fan is large. If you say any of the unboxing videos, I mean, the fan is very, very,
very large.
So, I mean,
double-sided as well, right? It's on either side, correct? It's that large that it extends out.
It covers over everything. I said, and I would encourage people, if they're interested in that, to look into the unboxing videos, and they take everything apart, the internals, but it's cool stuff to see. So, I mean, that's my report on sort of the physical part. As far as, you know, gaming-wise, okay.
Let me say one more thing. Sorry. But I agree with you. It wouldn't bother me because personally, I keep my PS4 off to the side. Mm-hmm. It's not near my TV at all. So when I'm playing games, I don't care what it looks like. But Bill's setup, he has two TVs, okay? Mm-hmm. Two gaming chairs right next to each other. It's really dope. They have a husband and wife gaming room. It's really cool because they're both hardcore Call of Duty players. And
the couple that games together stays together.
That's right. But then right where the TV is, right under the TV is where he has to put the system. There's nowhere else he can put it. Just the way the room's set up. So that's why it's pissing him off, because it's right in his fucking eyes. You know what I mean? So that's not how yours is set up, is it? Not right in your eyes.
I mean, it is. I mean, again, fortunately, you know, once I do finish, I mean, I'm in the process of working on renovating my newly moved into house, and there will be a media room. And I'm sure that if I have my option, I'll try to not have it front and center. But that being said, again, it is on right under my television. But like I said, I really, it's been performing well. I think I'd be paying a lot more attention to how it looked if it weren't performing correctly. And I do understand people's complaints because, listen, none of us are naive. We all know about 2 years from now or so, they'll come out with a new model of the same PlayStation. It'll be smaller.
It'll be sleek
and pretty. And those of us that are nuts and always get it day one will be pissed off. And then we'll probably end up getting it anyway. And, you know, and it just, it just is what it is. But like I said, I don't blame anyone who disagrees with me that it's a sticking point for them.
Okay. All right, go on. Sorry, I just wanted to ask you about that because I know a lot of people out there might be, some to some people that matters. You know what I mean? So, but it seems. I'm so sorry. It seems that the Xbox Series S, of course, are the ones that are breaking. I say of course because I remember I got the Xbox 360. That's the only time I ever got an Xbox. I had PS1, PS2, then I got a 360. I three of them broke. Three of them got the red ring of death. I got it to play Halo because I fell in love with Halo when I was a freshman in college because that's all we used to do. And then I went right back to PS3 and then PS4, and now I'm going to get PS5 in a year or so, and I'll never go back. And I see videos of these Xboxes like fucking on fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're smoking. They're like literally smoking through the top, right? And like you said, Bill, they're, I guess the reason that is because it's very compact. Right.
You know, and to be fair, a lot of those videos have been disproven. A lot of them are people using their
really?
Electronic vapes, and they're setting it up and pressing it against the back where you can't see it and it's popping through. So
what's the point of that, though?
Yeah, is
that
just they bought it.
It's people are going for views. People looking for clicks, man. They're just any way to get a click on a page, you know, or they could be.
We should start doing that.
PlayStation fanboys that are trying to somehow discredit. Somehow the big giant Microsoft machine through their YouTube pages. But, you know, I think that Microsoft...
That would mean they bought an Xbox to fake a thing to make PlayStation look better.
That's commitment, folks. That really is.
Right. So, you know, as far as though, I mean, I won't go into a crazy amount of listing here, but just really quick hits. Obviously, I have Call of Duty. I'm not going to dwell too much on a big Call of Duty review. I've really only jumped into zombies mode. Which has been a ton of fun. I've been playing co-op with a couple of my buddies.
It is zombies, bro. Love it.
So great. I love it.
I'm trying to get Sean and Dan to also, you know, diversify their portfolios and get off of Fortnite a little bit sometimes and mix it up with me. So we'll see how we go with that. But so far, at least on the zombies mode, I've been having a blast. Also, I've dove into, and I think Sean even can give a better, you know, we'll do spoiler free review, but I played Spider-Man Miles Morales on the PS5. I have to say the 60 FPS locked performance mode on this game is awesome. For those of you who maybe aren't been fortunate enough or just haven't dived into PC gaming and haven't experienced high frame rates yet, I'm just telling you to get this game, play the performance mode. It is the smoothest swinging and it's just a blast. I think I you know, and Sean has a very different experience than me, but I think I've played two story missions so far. And I've just spent most of my time talking to these guys in party chat, swinging around and dive bombing. But Sean, I'm pretty sure you completed the main story of that, correct?
I did. I really enjoyed it. I was a really big fan of the original Spider-Man PS4 game that came out. I loved it. It was great. It was kind of one of them games that I actually played twice and did not care because I had just so much fun. And I was a little hesitant to buy the Miles Morales game because, of course, I'm not as lucky as Bill is to pre-order the PS5. So I still am on the PS4, but I mean, the graphics are really nice. I'm very interested to hear, Bill, about like what the haptic feedback on the controller is. I know you said that it's super smooth and things like that, but like, that's kind of one thing I feel like I'm kind of missing from it. But the only good thing about buying the Miles Morales game on the PS4 is that you can be able to transition it easy to the PS5. It comes with the PS5 game. So, but I liked it. I really liked it, to not give a, you know, unspoilery review. I liked it a lot. You know, it wasn't, it's a little bit different than the Spider-Man original one because, you know, you're essentially not Peter Parker. And, you know, a big thing about Peter Parker is not only is he Spider-Man, but, you know, he's Spider-Man. And he's able to shoot, you know, webs and stuff like that. It's because he created his web shooter and he creates a lot of things and he's very scientific. So in the first game, of course, it's not only you just swinging around fighting bad guys, but also too, you're trying to convert power to different things and, you know, doing all them things. In the Miles Morales game, you don't really do anything like that, but you do other things, which is pretty cool because, of course, Miles Morales isn't as techie as Peter Parker is. I mean, he's kind of technical. He's very sciencey, just like Peter, but I guess just not at that level, at least yet, rather, at least in this kind of game. But he's still sciencey. But I liked it, though. I really did. It was great. It was a great ending. It was a great story. I liked the storyline that they did with the Prowler, his uncle. That was really good. So yeah, I would definitely recommend anyone getting this game if they like the original one, you know. So
cool. All right, do you have anything else, Bill? I like that you did a whole video game thing here, because I feel like we've been kind of slacking on talking about video games, and obviously with the release of PS5, this is great. So thanks for that info, man. Mm-hmm. But do you have anything else, or should Chone go?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just comment kind of weekly. I mean, I can bring a game or two up to you guys, so I can keep bringing that stuff as we go, so we don't have to you know jump it all now. But Sean made a comment about the controller. The haptic feedback on the DualSense controller, the new PlayStation 5 controller, is awesome. It, in a way, which was surprising to me more than anything. I mean, I was aware of what the features would be, but more so how it transforms the gameplay. And I know we talked about immersion and things like that, but it definitely, in a way, which is really interesting, and I'm not complaining, but just even saying playing Call of Duty or even Fortnite, it almost takes away a little bit of the arcadey feel of controlling. And what I mean to that is just free flowing, no responsiveness, no differing in whether you're shooting a shotgun versus a pistol, or sprinting, or pulling up a gun when you're at, you know, a low percentage of health versus full health. And those kind of little representations come in like the tension, the vibrations, just little, again, very micro, almost microscopic, I want to say, bits of feedback that really change the realism, your decision making. Maybe you're going to take a few extra steps now before you turn around to shooting zombies, because you know you're not just whipping around like you may even on a PS4 controller. There's just less feedback, a little bit less resistance. But again, it really is, I think, the name of the game going forward. People want immersion, you know, people want something different. And so far, and even like,
is there a haptic feedback thing when you try to turn around? Is it more, is it like, is there a little bit more of a pull when you have to go turn around and go shoot? Oh, that's interesting.
You're not,
so there's a pull on everything, right? Even the
buttons. There's almost like a natural feel of like resistance, more so when you're whipping, you know, like I said, of a heavy machinery in a, you know, say a Call of Duty versus like a pistol. Now, again, it's only been a week or so of me really playing. So, you know, a few more weeks from now, guys, be able to give a really more in-depth, and maybe I'll even, you know, do some YouTube content of, you know, on some of these specific gaming things.
Yeah.
Just to give some, you know, a little bit more long form thoughts on it, because I don't want to, you know, tie up all of our time here. But all in all, guys, really enjoying it. If you have any questions or, you know, any suggestions on some games you'd like to see streamed or even PS5 specific, let us know in the comments or reach out to us on Twitter, any of the socials.
Or email, cinevaders@gmail.com. All right, Sean, what are you up to, bro? And thanks, Bill. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome. You know, besides playing the Miles Morales game, I've been doing that pretty heavily. And you know, of course, Fortnite with you guys. I actually have gone back and I'm rewatching American Dad. I don't know why. It was one of them stupid shows I turned on maybe last week. And like, I turned it on at like, cause at like season 17 or something like that, 16. And like, I loved it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to rewatch this thing, from jump. So I'm kind of doing that right now. The other thing I'm watching right now is, obviously Star Trek Discovery, which comes out on CBS All Access or Paramount Plus, whatever it's called now.
It's so dumb. It's like, obviously I think CBS All Access, the reason they wanted to switch is because people were getting confused that it was just CBS, because anyone that I asked, I was like, oh, do you have CBS All Access? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, so have you watched Twilight Zone? And they're like, huh? And they were confused, like thinking it was just, you know, CBS, the channel. So I get that they needed to change it, but Paramount Plus, that's like, I don't think anyone even knows they're affiliated. You know what I mean? And now you got to do a whole rebranding thing. I don't know. These streamers crack me up, man. Like the ones that start and are successful right off the bat, i.e. Netflix and Apple Plus, are impressive. But, you know, the ones that start and stumble, i.e. Quibi and CBS All Access, you can see what's wrong. right off the bat. Like you can tell what's wrong. And the only reason why Disney Plus, I would have them in the middle where they didn't fail and they didn't succeed, is because they didn't have enough originals. Okay. They had one, Mandalorian, and then a couple other things on like the
Jeff Goldblum's thing.
Yeah, the Jeff Goldblum Hamilton thing. But I'm talking Hamilton, but I'm talking as far as like haven't original, seen Hamilton. I'm talking about as original shows go for Star Wars and Marvel, we have one. And it's been out for over a year. So, you know, I'm kind of upset with them, but I still can't say it's a failure because I use it all the time to watch the MCU movies. And again, they have them all except three. They're missing, they have 20. They're missing 21, 22, 23. Yes, there's 23 of them. They're missing, or no, there's 24 now. I think there's 24 now because Spider-Man came out. You can fact check me on that, Chone, if you want. But they're missing Hulk with Edward Norton, and they're missing both Tom Holland Spider-Man movies because they're owned by somebody else. You know, Sony won't share it so that they can put it on their streaming service because they want people to buy the DVDs, and that's what I did. Well, actually, it was bought for me, but I have both of them. I have Homecoming and Far From Home because I love my boy. He's my boy. But yeah, it's a weird name. Keep going.
Yeah, it's a weird name. And it's also, too, it's weird. It's weird that, you know, Sony and even Universal, and that's probably the reason why that we don't have the Incredible Hulk on Disney Plus, because Universal doesn't like to play nice with anybody. You know what I mean? I mean, hence the reason why that we had to have, you know, Hulk in a Thor movie, because we can't have an actual Hulk movie, but we can have a Hulk TV show, but we can't
have a Hulk movie though. I really don't.
I don't think, you know what? I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I mean, ever since the Eric Bana movie that they did, and like they changed the name and crap like that, terrible. So it was terrible. I remember seeing that with my dad, Papa Taff, and Papa Taff was so fucking disappointed with that movie.
Does he love Hulk?
Oh yeah, Papa Taff loved comic book stuff, loved Hulk. He, you know, he grew up watching the old, you know, Incredible Hulk TV show with Lou Ferrigno, and you know, love that. So like, this was like a very much of a slap in the face kind of a movie for him.
So the Bana one, I remember seeing this trailer. I think it came out for Spider-Man 2, the trailer with Tobey Maguire, with the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2, the trailer for the Eric Bana Hulk was in it. What showed before the movie was played, and I went to see the movie down the shore with a couple family members, and I was with my cousin Sean, who loves Hulk, absolutely loves him. It's his favorite comic book character. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but the very first trailer, all they showed was Eric Bana looking into the mirror, breathing heavy. His eye turns green, and then they show like a wall get smashed, and that's it. And they cut to black. And Sean was like, oh my God, like, yo, this is going to be so good, because the trailer, they didn't want to show anything. But guess what? They didn't want to show anything because Hulk CGI looked like absolute dick. That's why they
terrible. But it was horrible. Good. But you know, for the technology at that time, that was the bee's knees. You know what I mean?
No, I disagree. I mean, well, you had the Spider-Man trilogy that Sam Raimi did, and the CGI in that was far better than the CGI in Hulk.
Well, also, too, you also have to remember as well, A, it's Sam Raimi, and Sam Raimi can work with anything you give him.
Dude, it was Ang Lee. Campbell. Ang Lee made fucking Hulk, dude. She made Life of Pi. Life of Pi was one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. I just think that movie was doomed, man. Like, it just wasn't good. Everything about it just wasn't good. So I don't know. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more with you. And it's a shame, Anley. She's a great director. He is a great director. Is she or he?
I actually don't know. I just know that
it's they are either way.
He's very talented. Yeah, he's very talented.
Yes.
And I liked what they did with the comic panels. That was the best part of it. How they made some shots go over and down like you're reading a comic book. I thought that was really cool. It's just overall not good.
Yeah. But that's pretty much really it for me though. Really, it's really just American Dad and Star Trek Discovery. That's really the only things I've actually really just been watching. You know, unfortunately, guys, it's maybe a tad slow right now. I don't know why. Are you guys feeling that there's like not a lot of things, especially in these streaming platforms, to kind of really watch?
Yeah, outside of Mandalorian. But January is going to be great. We've got a few awesome things returning, and obviously WandaVision.
Not even that, though, Danny. You're also forgetting the creme de la creme.
What's this?
Wonder Woman 1984 dropping on.
Whoa. We're talking about that in the news. We're talking about that in the news. You're giving ahead.
Spoilers.
We'll call that a little tease there, people.
Why spend 4 weeks planning your 1 week vacation? Let Cruise Planners simplify your life. Cruise Planners travel experts have been there and done that and can offer you the best deals and plan all your details. Cruise Planners will help you find the perfect vacation spot by land or by sea. Contact Steve Del Carlino from Cruise Planners by calling 610-368-0908 or at DellsTravelCompany.com for the best vacations at the best value.
Okay. So, I was fortunate enough to get a screening. Now, obviously they're not doing screenings in theaters, so you get sent a code of a quote unquote documentary, but I wouldn't consider this a documentary. So shout out to Dave Hendricks, shout out to Pat Egan. They made sure I got this code and they said, make sure you watch it before Tuesday at 7 o'clock. It's going to disappear. And luckily we did. Wow, guys. Have you heard of Derek Delgaudio? Have you heard of this guy?
No.
Okay. Name sounds familiar, but no.
Okay. You're going to want to look him up. This guy, wow. Okay. This movie will win an Oscar. I don't know what, but it will win an Oscar. I'm positive. It's rated 9.5 on IMDb. And as I've said 1,000 times on the show, IMDb is very hard to get a high rating. Very, very hard. The best shows in the world, Breaking Bad, 9.5. All the best shows, you can't really get above a 9.5. That seems to be the cap. You know, maybe there are a couple, but some of the best shows in the world are like 8.9 on IMDb. It's very difficult to get a high rating. And that's because they do it differently than Flixster. Flixster, you say it was good or it was bad. And then they take an average of all the good and bads, and then that's how they give you the percent. So you're on Flixer, if something's 99% fresh, that's just saying 99% of the people said it was good rather than bad. So that's why IMDb is much more harsh, because you give it an actual star rating. You can go 7.1, 8.5. It's like a Dave Portnoy pizza review.
What's this called?
In and of itself. Now you're going to want to type in and, like with the ampersand, of itself, and then type movie. Type movie at the end. Directed by Frank Oz. Mm-hmm. Writer and stars Derek Delgaudio. This is a play that has been going on in New York for like 500. It's a one-man show, actually. I'm not going to call it a play. For like 500 or so times he's done this. And it's really interesting. It'll open your eyes. There's some amazing stories, but he's also a fucking magician, and he'll pull out some magic. This was
Really? That's awesome.
Dude, guys, this was the most mind-blowing thing I have ever watched. And I don't know how I've never heard of it. It seems to have a cult following in the movie, in the cut of the movie. They take it, you know, a lot of stand-ups do this. They take cuts from multiple different shows. I think it was like 10 or 15 shows that they were going back and forth, probably 10, because one specific segment of this movie, you need to have different shows involved. I'll tell you guys about that in a second. But, dude, Bill Gates was in the crowd. Who's the crazy magician?
David Blaine.
Yes, David Blaine was in the crowd. And this guy's shows are all sold out. So one unique thing he does about it, and I can't tell you guys too much because it hasn't been lifted yet. You can't talk about it yet. The whatever that's called. There's restrictions. If you get a screener or you go to a screener, you're not allowed NDA. To talk about it. Yeah, you're not allowed to talk about it until a certain point in time. But it's not an NDA. It's not like
a review embargo.
Yes, that's what it is.
Something.
Yes, it's a review embargo. That's what it's called. Not an NDA. But it's coming to Hulu on January 22nd. Guys, the day this comes out, watch it. Yep. Watch it. It's an hour and a half. Sasha and I were glued to the TV from 30 seconds in. This is, honestly, I felt better about life after I saw it. This guy's storytelling ability is it's up there with some of the best I've ever seen. It's unrivaled. His storytelling ability. You know when you're listening to Kevin Smith tell a story and you're just drawn in, or Tarantino and you're just, I'm drawn in. This guy has that same kind of charisma. And
so it's kind of like a little bit like an evening with Kevin Smith, but Kevin Smith is doing stage magic and shit. Does he do stage magic?
Yes. Yes, he does. That's magic. Awesome. Yeah. But there's like props. The whole wall behind him, there's all these cutouts, right? And they all are involved in the show in some way or another. So he'll tell a story, he'll use the prop, he'll stop and do magic. He'll tell a story, he'll use the prop, he'll stop and do magic. But then he does this really interesting thing, okay? At a certain point in the show, he says, hey, audience, raise your hand if you can come back tomorrow. Like, I'm serious. Can you come back tomorrow? And, you know, 5-10 people raise their hands. And he was like, all right, you're Mr. Tomorrow. And then towards the end of the show, he kicks that person out. He says, all right, you got to leave. and you're going to come back tomorrow. It's comped on us. So they had to make sure that they could actually come back tomorrow. Okay. Then they give them this book. Okay. A huge book, like the size of it. And it's a leather bound book. And it was empty, just blank pages. And from the start of the show, Mr. Tomorrow or Mrs. Tomorrow had to write in the book, the left side, what they learned from the show or what they thought about the show. And on the right side, how they thought the show would end. And guys, crazy shit ensues, because then they show Mr. Yesterday or Mrs. Yesterday, and that's why they had to splice in multiple showings of this show. And it's getting towards the end of the book, so I think he's going to publish this book when it's all done, and I'm going to read it. That sounds
incredible, dope.
Guys. Yeah, it's so really cool. So then they bring in Mrs. Yesterday or Mr. Yesterday, and these were the people that were Mr. Tomorrow, Mrs. Tomorrow, when they were sent away, and then they came back to the show the next day. And then they have to go on the stage and read what they said and what they think will happen. And then something mind-blowing happens, guys. Absolutely mind-blowing. My jaw was dropped. I mean, this was something like I've never seen before. This is going to win all the Oscars, especially because it's such a, I'm not going to say easy year, but if something is very high quality, it has a great chance to win the Oscar, because there's not much competition. A lot of things were pushed back to next year. So next year, that's going to be a very hard year to win an Oscar. But yeah, I can't tell you guys enough. In and ampersand, don't spell it out, of itself. Hulu, write it down in your phone, set a reminder, set an alarm for January 22nd, 2021. Watch this film. It is amazing. Thank you so much, Dave Hendricks. Thank you so much, Pat Egan, for reminding me that I had to watch it. Because if I had to wait another month, not knowing what I was missing out on, whew, I'd have been kicking myself. Okay. So
that sounds awesome. That sounds really cool. I need to check that out, because I don't know if you guys
have
know.
To.
I don't know if you guys know this, but do you guys know that I actually, as a kid growing up, I used to love magic.
Really?
I used to love magic. I still do a little magic for you guys. I can still do a little magic if you guys want. You guys want to see me?
Yeah, another time.
What about? Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Really?
We've been going for a while here. So I'm not doing a YouTube this episode, John.
Whatever.
I already told you that.
So we'll cut it up. Whatever.
Okay, so we're gonna do a rapid fire news segment. We've been already going for almost an hour. Yep. So let's go, guys. Black Panther 2 starts filming in July 2021. Narco star and Mexican actor Tenoch Huerta to play one of the antagonists. And I believe that Chon believes this is Namor. Chon, elaborate.
This is Namor. No, it's not Namor, it may be Namor. But it's not Namor.
Oh, fuck
no.
You. Fucking pronunciations. You can't read a goddamn name.
Oh my
dude, you're I gonna can't fucking
I can't read it all.
That was ballsy, Sean.
Yeah, right. For all the fucking names you mess up.
So many names,
dude. Our last YouTube video had to be re-uploaded. Jesus.
Oh, I would mess his name up too. Yeah. So, yeah, this guy, and Dan, you actually let me know about this. So thank you for this. But yeah, I definitely think this may be Namor. I wasn't really sure at first, only because, you know, really in the comic books, Namor's, you know, I mean, you know, they're under, you know, he's the king of Atlantis and stuff like that, and he's underwater, and he's a little bit on the pale side. But like, this guy obviously isn't, you know, very pale. He's not like me. I'm very fair skinned. I get, you know, sunburn and you know, moonlight. But like, I think they're going with a different direction, and this was kind of your thoughts as well, and I totally agree with you, Dan, that he's going to be more of like a, like you said, you know, essentially what Atlantis is, kind of towards the coast of Africa or something like that, essentially in the comic books. Or when we watch Iron Man 2, that's essentially where Nick Fury has a little dot essentially smack dab in the middle of the ocean, right where we also see where Wakanda is as well. So it would make sense that these, you know, secretive, high-powered nations would be feuding with each other. And of course, it'd probably been happening for years. Yeah. So...
Well, I hope so. I think that'd be a great addition to the MCU.
I think it'd be a great addition as well.
I would love to see him. Bill?
I really think, you know, like I said, we were talking about yesterday, Sean, you know, even off when you're watching Endgame, when they make that quick offhand comment about the, what did they say, the earthquake in the ocean off of Africa.
Handling it.
And so I also think now, I mean, obviously this was never the plan, but with Chadwick Boseman's untimely passing and such, I think they're going, it seems, at least from what the rumors are saying, that they may go with Lupita Nyong'o and have a female Black Panther and not recast T'Challa.
That's the only thing you can do, in my opinion. That's the only thing.
So I think it's interesting, though, because this really leaves a pretty interesting kind of storyline, you know, a kingdom without a king, long-term rivals, and this is a chance for Atlantis to strike without a Black Panther, and... Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why it would make Shuri have to rise to the occasion. And
how are they going to go about this, dude? How are they going to go about this? Like, how are you going to kill him off? That's going to be so sad.
They may have to kill him off kind of off camera, kind of Scott Summers style.
Obviously, that's not my question. My question was, how do you pull this off without upsetting fans?
I think you'd be honest. I think you make a point that, you know, even Wakandans can't cure and stop everything. Maybe he just gets sick. You know, I mean, it's a somber thing.
I feel like that's a little bit too.
I don't know. Sure. I understand that, but I almost, because of kind of what you're saying, because of what Black Panther has been on screen and shown his ass kicking abilities and everything besides that, I think it's a lot tougher to kill him off screen in a battle as opposed to just trying to be honest with people and just, you know, and just kind of, it's not weak to be sick. You know, and it just
honestly, maybe honestly, if they say he died in battle, I'm going to be fucking livid. That is so goddamn disrespectful. The man died and, you know, was such a great example and such a great role model. And you're going to say he died because he lost the fight. That would be horrible. You can't. And that's why I brought this question up. How are they going to do this, man? This is really hard. And I love Chadwick, man. I miss him. He was great. Go back and listen to our Chadwick episode. It was Chone and I, and we both talked about him. And I told a story about my friend Steve, and he's going to come on. Chone, that guy, the guy who met Chadwick, he's going to come on in a week or two. And
perfect.
We're going to talk about him, about being a movie extra and a TV show extra, because he has a new Adam Sandler film he's working with. But yeah, I mean, getting back to this, it's so delicate. You got to be careful. So I agree with Bill here. 100% I agree with Bill here.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with Bill. It's a hard topic, and I think that's, of course, very, very, very evident with especially how they're approaching it, even how they're kind of tiptoeing it. I mean, even, you know, it's clear to me that the actress that plays Shuri is going to be the next Black Panther, because if you guys have noticed, she's had
a little bit more uptick, at least in her celebrity. And you can kind of see, at least, you know, at least in my opinion, that it's definitely great, but I could see the reluctance a little bit in her. I don't know why, you know what I mean? And of course, it's definitely tough shoes, and it has to be. I mean, you know, yeah, it's great. If she becomes the next Black Panther, that's fantastic. We're all going to love it. But, you know, just for her, just as the individual, I'm sure it's tough to step into his shoes, because, you know, let's face it, he left some really big shoes to really fill, you know, and I'm sure that she's going to do a fantastic job. And not only, you know, not only as her character, but also honoring his memory and his legacy, and, you know, inspiring.
All right, so I guess we're all kind of confused. We have no idea. And good luck to Kevin Feige to figure this out. But let me jump in and talk about Lupita Luango. I found her, and it's kind of funny. Jesse Eisenberg had the same kind of thing happen. So Jesse Eisenberg's two big movies that really put him on the map were Adventureland and Zombieland, both movies with something land. Now Lupita Luango, the first time I saw her, she was in a Black Mirror episode called Black Museum. And now she's in Black Panther. So that's kind of crazy. Like, all the things that have kind of risen her to fame are Black Space something. I just find that interesting. And I thought the same thing for Jesse Eisenberg when he came to prominence, because I was like, oh, I really like this guy in Zombieland. Let me watch him in Adventureland, which I love that movie. Have you guys seen that with Ryan Reynolds?
I did not actually see what? That. I know what you're no, talking I have, about. I love Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
and
guys.
I love Ryan Reynolds. I
so,
seen
no, no, no. He's all right. So if you're going to watch it for him, don't, because he's not the star. He's in it. He's in it for 10 minutes, maybe. But his scenes are great. 10, 15 minutes, maybe. But it's Kristen Stewart and Jesse Eisenberg. I apologize for my dogs if you guys hear that. But there's a lot of great side characters who are in it as well. There's somebody.
They run an amusement park, right? It's like an amusement park.
Bill Hader's in it. Kristen Wiig's in it. She's hilarious in it. And Martin Starr's in the movie as well. It's a really great cast. So, yeah, if you guys haven't seen Adventureland, I mean, this movie came out a while ago. It came out in 2009. But, yeah, it's got to be on one of the streaming services. I'll look it up when somebody else is talking. But Deadpool 3, yep. Bill, tell us about it.
So it is looking like, and obviously you're seeing it in the trades, so we are tending to run with it here, that Deadpool 3 is officially going to be a go at Marvel Studios. Looks like they officially have tapped Bob's Burgers writers, Wendy. These are sisters, actually, Wendy and Lizzie Molyneux. They are going to be writing the screenplay for everything that at least it's being reported. It's supposed to be a rated R sequel. So I think Brian and some people will be happy that share the opinion that they, you know, don't want to have just the PG-13 violence on certain properties, Venom, Deadpool, etc. But a thing that I thought was still interesting, and I think anyone who's followed the Deadpool 3, will it or won't it happen at Marvel Studios, has been Deadpool creator Rob Liefeld. He came out in social media and said that we still should expect a significant wait, at least 2 years, before we see anything, which for people now, I think in you know, comic book movies, and especially comic book movies during COVID, 2 years doesn't seem that bad. But I kind of wanted to pose a question to you guys kind of quickly. Rob Liefeld is a salty, salty dog. He's
annoying, bro. He's annoying as shit.
And that's really what I wanted your guys' opinion on. I mean, this guy, all you ever see him do is bitch. And I mean, for a guy whose character has become really a top five most popular comic book character, at least mainstream for regular people. What are your guys' opinion on this guy? I think he's a piece of work.
He's a fucking piece of shit almost. He's annoying as hell. I don't like him. He's always on Twitter bitching about something. Like, this is my character. I created him. Like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, be humble. I don't like him at all. And it's funny you said that, because I was thinking about this for a while and I saw that you put it in the notes and I was like, hell yeah, dude. I finally get to call this guy out. I do not like him. Chone.
Yeah, I would agree with both of you. Every time you see his name or you hear his name, it's followed by either a complaint or just not grateful for his character becoming what it is. You know, I've also heard horror stories from fandom and fans that have like met him at cons and shows and just like was just not impressed or had a really bad experience, probably because he's kind of a dick. He's a dick on paper and he's probably a dick in person. I mean, listen, guys, I get it when it comes down to money and, you know, creative property and, you know, an IP and, you know, getting your buck's worth. But let's face it, if there's anybody that's, you know, got some money from this and, you know, got some, you know, credibility, it's definitely him. And for just every time you hear it, like we Googled his name, right? Well, I forget what else I Googled. I Googled his name. And before I Googled it, right, the Google asked me if I wanted to say Rob Liefeld is a dick. And I was like, oh my God, Google, you're absolutely correct. And
he is a dick. You never met him at a Comic-Con or anything like that?
No, I've never met him at a Comic-Con. Now we're talking about Jesse Eisenberg. I actually met him.
How's he? He seems nice.
No. Really? He's very kind of like indifferent. He was kind of one of them celebrities, like I've told you guys before, that essentially sitting, you know, looking at his watch, you know, kind of ready to kind of get out and things
like
that.
What if he's just an introvert? You never know. I mean,
we had kind of a good interaction. I mean, I get along with dickheads. But he was okay.
Dude, just being on your phone doesn't make you a dickhead. That honestly.
That's not what I said. I didn't say being on your phone. I said.
I'll play it back. I'll play it back right here.
I said looking at his watch, ready to kind of go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's me. We're all human, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Chung, say phone really quick. Let me hear how you pronounce it.
Phone.
Thank you. I think Bill knows what I'm gonna do. All right, keep going. No, we're done with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we
Wonder Woman.
At? We are at Wonder Woman. We're gonna save the Boba Fett Black Lightning down. We're gonna save that for next week, just so you guys know. Because that's good stuff that I really want to get into, especially the Black Lightning thing. We're getting way too long here because we just have fun together. Wonder Woman 1984 is going to be on HBO Max. Now, is it going to be behind a paywall?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean,
it'd probably be $30, just like the other ones.
$29.95.
to 30, probably. Yeah.
Now, since it's going to be in theaters and on HBO Max, which one are you seeing? Where are you watching it?
I'll be watching it. No, I'll be. You go first. This your theaters, you said?
Oh, I'm going to theaters. Oh, yeah.
Your theater closed down. Show them where you're going to go.
I'll go to Bill's. I don't know. I'll go somewhere in the suburbs. You know, I'll go somewhere where Corona can't get me.
Oh, dude, that AMC theater in Jersey right across the bridge is one of the most comfortable theaters I've ever been to.
AMC Cherry Hill. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not that one.
It's Deptford.
Marlton?
It's a really small theater. There's only
AMC one. Yeah.
I thought it was Deptford.
Is it Deptford, Deptford 8?
AMC 8?
Yeah, Deptford, the AMC 8.
Yeah, that
8.
One. The AMC 8. That one. Yeah, that is Deptford, the most chilling movie theater I've ever been to. It's so small. There's four screens on the left side, four screens on the right side. There's not many seats. There's not many asshole kids running around. It's a great theater, and they have the most comfortable seats in the world. But I think that's just standard for AMC now. I think they're just putting those seats everywhere. But I just like the vibe of the place. It seems like it's a small mom-and-pop theater that they took over because, you know, capitalism. But it's awesome.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's very comfortable. All right, so Joan's going to see it in theaters. Bill's going to see it at his house. I agree with Bill. I'm going to watch it at my house. I have an HBO Max subscription, so I might as well just pay the $30. If I watch it with my wife, that's $15 each, essentially. So fuck it. I'm just going to stay and watch it at home. Now, if this were Black Widow that was going on streaming and it was also going to the movie theater, I'm watching it at the movie theater. MCU, I'm seeing at the movie theater because I'm obsessed. But yeah, let's... just get a couple more thoughts here, and then I got a little joke and the show. So, Bill, you Chone, you gave your answer. Bill, expand on why you're gonna watch it at home.
I'm gonna watch it at home because honestly, I really want to be able to go back to the theater and have the theater experience that I remember it. I'm not saying that we'll ever go back. Well, hopefully we will, but even if we don't go back completely to what it is, I want it to be as normal as possible. Christmas Day or even that week, you know, I think even obviously, and this isn't to be in like a COVID preaching thing, but I think at least during that time, I'm going to do my best to just be safe, enjoy it. And really just to follow up, like I said, I really just think this just comes back to what I was saying a few weeks ago, that I really just think this came from the AT&T. This was a end of the quarter, we need to get some revenue in. This is a stock point decision here. And I, you know, I commend Patty Jenkins for writing the nice love letter to fans, but she's not fooling anybody. That really is that came right down from the corporate top. That was 100%.
I agree. I totally agree. And we can see that not only just in the movies, but we can also see that in, you know, DC Comics in itself. I mean, you know, all the news that's coming out from DC Comics that they're letting a very good portion of their staff go. And even more so, there are rumors that they're going to be shutting down possibly completely for a little bit in June 2021. Now, of course, guys, that's rumors, so we have to take that with a little bit of grain of salt. But I mean, these all really seem like these are
wait, you know, what's going to be shutting down? Say that again.
DC Comics, there's a rumor that DC Comics as a whole may shut down for a time in June 2021. Now, it is speculation, it is a rumor, but with everything that's going on, especially with them cutting a good portion of their staff, especially the writers and everything like that,
they're going to basically do what DC does in comic books, and they're just going to restart their universe, except in real life they're just going to fire everybody and they're going to restructure everything and restart at some point. If the rumors are true, they're just going to do what they do in comics in real life.
And that sounds to me like that's a marching order coming from, you know, AT&T.
Save that for your Chone's Corner, because I think you should really expand on this, and we're really running against it for time here. So I think this would be great for a Chone's Corner. I got a quick joke to tell you guys. Thank you so much for bearing with us for this longer episode. Okay, so this was told to me by someone I work with, and if you like Trump, you might want to just stop listening now. But I thought this was really funny. Okay, I got dumber voters for you than Trope. Oh my God. I got to start over. Yo, I got dumber voters for you than Trump voters. Go for it. And this is what I said. All right. This was actually a conversation between, it was a group chat. So I saw it and I didn't participate, but I thought it was hilarious. I got dumber voters for you than Trump voters. Go for it. Voters of Naboo. So this is Star Wars themed, guys. If you know Star Wars, you're going to love this. Their senator, Palpatine, turned out to be the most evil person in the galaxy. Good point. They voted in a 13-year-old as queen to be their Senate rep. The queen then screwed over the current chancellor, their biggest ally, and gave power to Palpatine. And then these are excellent points. Also, she blows through like 15 red flags, including anti-murdering sand people kids, and weds him and gives him kids. And then the next counterpoint, and he's a Jedi. She knows that's forbidden love. And why? and when she can't be there for a boat, she puts Jar Jar Binks in her place, who then takes the lead on creating a clone army. They elected her queen for 2 terms and then as a senator. Useless queen, useless senator. The old republic was doomed because of her, because of those dumb Naboo voters. So I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Natalie
Portman.
I fucking love Natalie Portman, but yeah, that was amazing. All right, guys. Thank you so much. See you next week.
Chone out.
See you guys.
Ready to travel in style or check off a vacation bucket list? Cruise Planners will help you plan the perfect luxury experience. Explore exotic destinations like Asia and the South Pacific, to Europe, Alaska, and tropical beaches around the world. Your Cruise Planners travel advisor will customize a vacation just for you, with special offers and upgrades for that extra wow. Contact Steve Del Carlino from Cruise Planners by calling 610-368-0908 or at DellsTravelCompany.com for the best vacations at the best value.
Oh, thank you.